1 Peter chapter 3. In like manner, you wives, be in subjection to your husbands, that even if any do not obey the word, they may without the word be gained by the behaviour of their wives, seeing your chaste behaviour coupled with fear. So, even if people won't respond to the gospel, by looking at your behaviour they can be persuaded. So we are the light of the world in that sense. And even if a woman is married, in this case, to a husband who doesn't believe, who hasn't obeyed the gospel, he might still obey it because of her example, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of braiding the hair, wearing jewels of gold, or putting on expensive clothing, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in the incorruptible clothing of a meek and humble spirit, which is in the sight of God of great value. So then, that's the sort of woman you should go for, and that's the sort of woman you should seek to be. Not with external braiding of the hair, expensive jewelry, and expensive clothes. That doesn't make you better as a person. All that is external. But to have a humble spirit, that is what you should see in a woman and be attracted to her, and that is what a woman should seek to have. And this is very different to how the world thinks, which is that, oh, dress yourself up, make yourself look as beautiful as you can using jewellery and expensive clothing, and then you'll be attractive. And this is not true. You'd be attractive to the man of the flesh, but who wants to be humble in this world? Everyone wants to be proud, showing off. But we should try and have God's viewpoint, which is that humility is most important. For after this manner in the past, the holy women who trusted in God also made themselves beautiful by submitting to their husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose children you now are, if you do well and are not put in fear by any terror. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wife with understanding, giving honour to the woman as to the weaker vessel, as being also joint heirs of the grace of life, so that your prayers are not hindered. So, husband and wife should be praying together, quite clearly, and you are joint heirs of life. So you are both going to live together forever in God's kingdom. So he clearly assumes that Christian marriage is between a believing man and a believing woman, and that they are heirs together of the grace of God that gives life eternal. So you're going to live forever and ever in the kingdom with the person you marry if they are also a believer. Now, that puts a totally different sort of feel on all human relationships, that if we're going to live together forever, and we get on in this life. And when there's differences of opinion and where there's hard feelings, we've got to get over this and not break the relationship, not divorce, because you know you're going to live together forever. So you better get on with each other now. Finally, all of you be like-minded, compassionate, loving as brothers, sensitive, humble. Sensitive, that means imagining how that person is going to feel in this or that situation. Not rendering evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but instead give blessing. So often it's said, well, I did it because she did that to me. I did it because he did that to me. Well, that is the natural way to think, but the Christian way is so different. Instead give blessing. For this were you called, that you should inherit a blessing. So we sinned against God and he blessed us. For he that would love life and see good days, let him restrain his tongue from evil and restrain his lips so they speak no lies. Self-control. And let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. So you've got to ask yourself, is what I'm saying or doing going to help bring about peace or not? And that should be what guides what comes out of our lips. And so often people don't think and they don't control themselves, and so you don't get peace. You get division and argument and bitterness. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify in your hearts Christ as Lord. So that's what's so important, to have a heart in which Jesus is the Master. Always ready to give answer to every man that asks you a reason concerning the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when you are spoken against, they may be put to shame, who revile your good manner of life in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God should be so, that you suffer for well-doing rather than for evil-doing. Because Christ also suffered for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, through which also he went and preached to the spirits in prison that previously were disobedient, when the long-suffering or patience of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was prepared, when in few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water, which is also a true likeness of how baptism does now save you. So then, very few people were saved in the ark, only eight people. And in the same way as they were surrounded by water in the ark, with water all around them because it was raining, and water beneath them because they were floating on the waters, so it is with baptism. But very few people were saved. And so the whole thing opens up as a parable, doesn't it? That just as people mocked Noah and laughed at him, so it is in our days. That people think that we're crazy because we are structuring our whole life around the knowledge that one day the day of judgment is going to come. So he says that baptism is not the washing away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is the one at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him. So it's not true that there are some angels that are evil, wicked, sinful, and some that are good. No, all the angels and all power has been given to Jesus, and he is now in heaven, and he has risen from the dead, and therefore by associating with him in baptism, which is, you know, you go into the water, that's like death with Jesus, you come up out of the water, that's like resurrection. Through identity with his death and resurrection, we really will be saved. And all the power that he has, he will use to save us if we let him.